This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bible to the book of Judges, chapter 9, verse 21, where we left off last time. Judges, chapter 9, verse 21. Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, every Thursday, somewhere between 12 noon and before 2 p.m. My twin friend Scott Merson meets me here, and we pray for the sick. We pray for whatever ails you. So come between 12 noon and we close at 2 p.m. So that's every Thursday. Come on Sundays, 5 p.m., anointed word and anointed prayer. Come on Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., anointed word and prayer warriors. And now, Judges chapter 9, verse 21. Now, last time, our wonderful man of God, the appointed judge Gideon, had gone home to be with Father God. And he had left 70 wonderful God-fearing sons, but he had one bad son, a bad fig, shall we say, a bad seed. And the bad son's name was Abimelech. So Abimelech decided that he wanted to be the next ruler. He didn't want to just be judge and teach people about God. He wanted to be the dictator king. So he went to Shechem, his concubine mother's house, and he got all the men of Shechem, they did live in the promised land, to give him some money. And he hired some thuggy, vain and light men of Shechem, and they went over there and killed 69 of Gideon's son. One son escaped, the youngest, and his name was Jothan. Jothan was a prophet. And Jothan ran to Mount Gerizim, which in the Hebrew means Mount Gideon. And he called out to the men of Shechem. It was like an amplified microphone. He said, "Hear the word of the Lord. My father fought for you. He risked his life for you." Jothan was traumatized. And he said, "Since you did not do right by my father Gideon, and you killed his sons." Now listen, verse 20, Jothan prophesied. And God says, "Believe my word and believe my prophets. If a prophet prophesies a thing, it shall come to pass." Jothan said, we left off last week, he said, "A fire shall come out from Abimelech and destroy the men of Shechem. And a fire shall come out from the men of Shechem and destroy Abimelech." So everybody remember that. That brings us to the title of this lesson today, which is, "It looks like the wicked get away with it." But as Psalm 37 says, the wicked don't get away with it. They are as the fat of lamb on a spittle. Into the smoke they consume. They consume away.
Judges chapter 9, verse 21. And Jothan ran away and fled to Beer and dwelt there for fear of his brother.
He had to run for his life.
22. When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. 23. Then God sent an evil spirit upon Abimelech and the men of Shechem.
Okay, so now it looks like Abimelech's got it made. He's not just the judge. He's not a godly man. He's ruling over them. He's living high and mighty. Everybody's giving him money, and he's living in luxury. It's 3 years. But God. God sent an evil spirit into the men of Shechem. Now remember, the people of Shechem had elected Abimelech as king, so they were on his side. What is the evil spirit? It's called a demon. God would use a demon when it can be utilized for God's will. The demon's name is demon discord. So God said, "Demon discord, step up to the plate." Now, why did he get a demon to bring discord among the men of Shechem and the man they practically worshiped, Abimelech? Because God has rules, God has laws, and God will not break his law. We have a law of gravity. I have a clock I'm watching here, so I won't go overtime on my radio teaching here. If I hold it up and drop it, guess what will happen? It'll fall. Law of gravity. God never breaks that. He has the law of reciprocity. You sow, and you're going to reap something later than you sowed and more than you sowed. And God has a law of agreement. Jesus says in Matthew, if two or more of you agree as touching anything on the earth, it shall be done unto you. That is God's law, the prayer of agreement. Now remember the Tower of Babel in Genesis? Those men were not even godly men. They decided to build a tower to heaven, so if God ever decided to flood the earth again, they could go up to heaven. They didn't think about mudslides. And God sent Babel and confused them. He sent a demon of discord, an evil spirit, because he says, as long as they keep my agreement law, I have to obey that. God will not break his law. All of my life, just about, even from a young girl, I have led people in prayer and up before people. And most of the times we say, let's pray in agreement. Now, as I have moved along, because death and life and the power of the tongue, and because sound produces movement and movement gets the job done, when I have a group of praying, people praying, I often say, let us all say together, I agree in Jesus' name, because Jesus says, if two or more agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done. But what does that mean? Does it mean that anybody can come into my prayer group and everybody sit there and look at me and stare at me and say, I agree in Jesus' name, say the words and it's done? No. Because Christians do mean well in prayer groups, but there are different levels of agreement. See, if you like me and think I just said something to God that would be good from the Bible, you would look and say, oh, that's good. I agree in Jesus' name. But what if you got my passion? What if you caught my frequency? What if you caught the voltage of Holy Spirit fire in me that knows this comes from God? Then we agree. So see, even in my own prayer groups, we are not always in agreement. We all mean well. The words we agree and we say it. But it's when one other person can come to you with the agreement of the Spirit and the frequency and the passion and the fire of the Holy Spirit in you, then it is done. Amen. Everybody got it?
Yes. Amen.
Okay, that's a great teaching, is it not? Yes. I thought you'd like that. I learned something. The Lord gave me that just as clear as a bell. Now, so God doesn't want these people to agree, so he's going to bring discord. See, the devil goes into churches and brings discord. By the way, demon discord has a brother and a sister. They're called mumbling and grumbling, and then they got another one called criticize the pastor.
And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech.
Okay, see, it worked. God wanted the discord because he wasn't going to let, as long as they agreed. See, even God's law, when you misuse it, works. People who do not believe in God, who do not believe in tithing, who do not understand the law of reciprocity, people of the world, I've heard them say they caught onto that law of reciprocity, and that's why they give, and so it comes back to them. See, God's law cannot be changed. So he didn't want them agreeing, because that means Abimelech would have led for a long time.
24, that the cruelty done unto the 70 sons of Zerubbabel might come.
In other words, what Abimelech and the men of Shechem had done, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
And their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and the men of Shechem, which aided him in the slaying of his brethren.
Now, the men of Shechem were not warriors, those vain and light thugs he got there. They were, but the men of Shechem were cowards, but they did give the money to help that. See, any time you enable sin, then you're guilty. All the people who sponsor places that provide abortion, check all of your bills and everything. I've had to change some of mine. Then, if you are paying into that company, you are aiding and abetting abortion. You're guilty, see?
25, and the men of Shechem set liars in wait.
A liar in wait is a robber. Okay, now the men of Shechem are now going to betray Abimelech. They're going to impeach him, okay? And so they send robbers up there along the highway.
In the top of the mountain, and they robbed all that came along that way by them.
Why did they do that? The men of Shechem wanted the citizens to get upset and say, Abimelech's not a good king. He's letting these people rob us. See? See the plot?
And it was told Abimelech, 26, and Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren.
Now, there's this Israelite that decides to come over there. I'll tell you in advance, he's coming to have a wine party. Gaal is coming, and he's brought some men with him. He's an Israelite. So he goes to visit the men of Shechem. Now, nature abhors a vacuum. If you empty something and leave it vacuum, something's going to come in there. Hopefully not a cockroach, okay? Jesus says when you cast a demon out of someone, don't leave that empty. Otherwise, they'll go and get seven more demons, okay? So now, everybody's in the men of Shechem, they have betrayed Abimelech. They don't want him to be king. But here comes this con man, party-hardy, Gaal, with some of his people.
I went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him.
They liked him.
And they went out into their fields and gathered the vineyards and tread their grapes.
It happened to be great harvest time. So what they did, they put those grapes in that little wine press. Remember, Gideon was beating out bread there. And they got drunk as skunk. Now, that's called new wine. There's more content in new wine than old wine. Now, Jesus said, get rid of the old wine and drink the new wine. Jesus was not telling you to get drunk. He's not talking about alcohol. He's saying, get out the stiffness and the you on the throne and your hard-heartedness and your rebellion spirit. Get that out of you. Relax and yield and let the Holy Spirit fill you, and you'll be high on the Holy Spirit. I can tell you, it's a perpetual high. Yep. And yet, you don't get arrested for drunkenness.
Yep. Amen.
And made merry, and went into the house of their God.
And they went into Baal Berith's house there and got drunk as skunks, Gaal and his men. Now remember, everybody's betraying Abimelech.
Eat and drink and curse Abimelech.
They just drinking and talking about Abimelech. They don't like him now.
28, and Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech, and who is Shechem, that we should serve him or them?
It's amazing how bold you can be when you have a little bit of wine there. Gaal says, who is Abimelech? I mean, man, I could beat him up. And how about those men of Shechem that went with Abimelech? You know, those thugs that killed those guys? You know what I think they are, says Gaal? I think they're a basket of deplorables. They are not as good as we are. We are the elites.
Is not he the son of Jerubbaal? And Zebul his officer?
Now Zebul is the mayor of Shechem, and Zebul is loyal to Abimelech. Not because he loves Abimelech, but Abimelech has appointed Zebul as mayor, and he's got it made. It's a cushy job. So he's not going to be so willing to switch leaders there, because see, Gaal might not give Zebul as much money as Abimelech. So this is Mayor Zebul. Now he's going to watch this.
Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem.
The man who founded Shechem.
Well, why should he serve him? 29, and would to God these people were under my hand.
You should let me be your king, says Gaal.
If I were in charge, then would I remove Abimelech?
I would take him out.
And he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out.
Now that's the alcohol, the new wine talking, Gaal. Hey, Abimelech, bring it on. Let's watch him put his money where his mouth is.
Verse 30, and when Zebul, the ruler of the city.
Now that's the mayor. Remember, he has not yet gone over to Gaal's side. He's still loyal to Abimelech.
heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled.
He was mad at that.
And he sent messengers to Abimelech privily.
So he leaks the secret to Abimelech. He gets a message to him,
saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren, they come to Shechem. And behold, they fortify the city against thee.
They have taken over the city. He wants to be king, Abimelech.
32. Now therefore, up by night, thou and the people that is with thee.
While it's still dark, you and those thugs with you, your men, come up and get close to Shechem, so Gaal cannot see you. Let it be dark.
And lie in wait in the field. 33. And it shall be in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt arise early and sought upon the city, and he and the people that is with him come out against thee.
When Gaal comes out against you,
then mayest thou do unto them as thou shalt find occasion.
Mayor Zebal says, Abimelech, kill them.
34. And Abimelech arose up, and all the people that were with him by night. And they laid wait against Shechem in four companies.
Now, this is important. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that these things happen to these people in the Bible for an ensample example and admonition for those of us who will come to the end of this age. Abimelech is a type of the soon coming Antichrist. He will pretend to be Christ. Christ means Messiah. Christ means Savior. He's coming before the true Savior. He comes before Jesus. We're in the fifth trumpet now, which is a time of learning why I'm talking to you. And at the sixth trump, the Antichrist will come. Now, what the Antichrist has already done, he has already formed four companies to go before him. See, Abimelech had four companies. These are called the four hidden dynasties of Zechariah and of Revelation, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And they are the economic, the educational, religion, and political. Do you know that the children in America, in our schools, have not been taught correctly? Very few school children in America know that 120 bone-weary pilgrims drug an old rugged cross from the ship. They had brought it over from England. And when they landed in what many years later would become Virginia Beach, Virginia, they planted that old rugged cross there and dedicated this land, this country, to Almighty God in the glory of the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our children do not know that the first schools were in a church. I have a picture of one over my prayer wall there. And the reason the children went to church, to school, was to learn to read the Bible. And now look at that. And of course, the political scene. For the last 8 years, we've seen the Kenites destroy our country. Thank God, God's lifted us off a judge, a righteous judge in President Trump, so things are turning around. But the reason the economy has been such a mess is because the political scene, like Abimelech, has taken all of the money. And what can I say about religion? In other words, we used to say, read the Bible in early American churches and pray in Jesus' name. Now they don't want you to even use the name of Jesus at an inauguration. I graduated from high school at 17 years old. I was the keynote speaker. They elected me because I've been winning many speech and contests. And of course, I was able to say Jesus and the Bible and give an inspirational speech. And now if you do that, they won't even let you make the speech. And so see what's happened there. So Abimelech is a type. Now, Antichrist has already got these four hidden dynasties. They're not even so hidden in America anymore. They're pretty blatant. So that's where we are. Now let's go back to Abimelech.
35. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out.
Okay, Gaal gets up. He's a little hungover, but he goes out and he peeps out. Whoa, what does he see?
And stood at the entering of the gate into the city. And Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him from lying in wait. 36. And when Gaal saw the people, He said to Zebul, behold, there come people down from the top of the mountain.
Gaal looks up and says, Mayor, Zebul, look over there. There's some people coming toward us.
And Zebul said to him, thou seest the shadow of a mountain as if they were men.
You had too much to drink. You hungover. You hallucinate. That's not anything. That's just a shadow of a mountain, says Mayor Zebul. Remember, Zebul's betraying Gaal, and everybody's betraying everybody. The crooks are betraying the crooks. At least some Christians don't betray us. Some.
And Gaal spake again and said, see, there come people down by the middle of the land.
Wait a minute. Look, there's people in the middle of the field. There's no mountain there. There are people, Mayor Zebul, says Gaal.
And another company come along by the plain of Baalim. 38. Then said Zebul.
Now, Zebul is no longer going to even pretend to like Gaal. He's going to let him know his true colors. Beside, Mayor Zebul thinks help is on the way because Abimelech's coming. So now he doesn't have to be afraid that Gaal might kill him.
To him, where is now thy mouth which thou saidest?
Put your money where your mouth is, Gaal. You said you'd take him on. Go take him on, you hungover dude.
Who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised?
Oh, look, he's bringing his basket of deplorables. Go get him.
Go out now, I pray thee, and fight with them. 39. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem.
Did you know Gaal did that? Now, when it says before, the men of Shechem were cowards. They didn't go, but Gaal went and took his little band. Remember, he had some men with him. So they went out. He was courageous enough, even still hungover, to go out against Abimelech.
And fought with Abimelech. Verse 40. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many were overthrown and wounded, even to the entering of the gate.
They went out against Abimelech. Abimelech chased him back. Gaal runs back to the city, the gate. And Gaal's men are wounded. They're kind of like street sidewalk. They're just walking over the wounded bodies. But Gaal is not dead.
41. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah. And Zebul flushed out Gaal and his brethren.
Okay, flushed means they told Gaal, why don't you get out of town? We don't want you to be our king. You better get out of here. I'm sure that Gaal was glad to get out. So he and his little group fade away into the sunset exit.
That they should not dwell in Shechem. 42. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field.
Now, the people of Shechem are not warriors. What they're going to go is they're going to go meet Abimelech.
And they told Abimelech.
So they're going to say, King Abimelech, we're sorry we betrayed you, but we're going to be back on your side now. We didn't mean to just betray you to Gaal. We want to be your servants there. So let's just have peace.
43, and he took the people and divided them into three companies.
All right, now, Abimelech now is at the gate. He is here. He is at the gate at this point. And he's got three companies. When the Antichrist comes, he will be the unholy trinity. Shall we say three unholies in one? There will be the Antichrist himself, who is the son of perdition, the man of sin, who is Satan with his Jesus costume on, his Savior costume on. And he will also play the office of the beast, the first beast of Revelation, which is the political system. And the third company will be the false prophets, which will be the lies coming from the beast, the political system, and the lies coming from Abimelech. Three in one.
And they wait in the field and looked, and behold, the people will come forth out of the city. And he rose up against them and smote them.
Not too forgiving. I mean, crooks don't like you to betray them. They're okay, zap, 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 everybody gone.
44. And Abimelech and the company that was with him walked forward and stood at the entering of the gate into the city.
Now he takes a city. When the Antichrist comes, he's going to take over the world. The whole world will go after him. All of these people being slain here, that means the whole world will worship the Antichrist. And to worship the devil, the Antichrist, is that your eternal soul is slain. All the world, Revelation 13, will worship him except the little group of elect. And then Antichrist is going to go to the city, Jerusalem, and set up his throne in Jerusalem, calling himself God, Theosata, God's Savior. This will happen soon.
Other companies ran upon all the people that were in the field and slew them.
They slew them. The field is the world, Jesus says in Matthew. So in other words, the whole world will die spiritually because you'll worship the Antichrist except the elect, Romans 11, 7,000 who will not bail, that need to bail.
45, and Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that were therein, and beat down the city and sowed it with salt.
Their way of making a living was agriculture, so he salted all that. You can't grow things when the soil is all salted. Now, when Satan sits in Jerusalem calling himself God with his Kenites and with his fallen angels, it's as though that area is polluted with sin. And then at the seventh trump, when the real Jesus comes with his entourage, Jesus is going to pick up Satan, the Antichrist, and lock him in a pit for 1,000 years, and Jesus is going to clean up that place. Not one stone shall be left unturned. He's going to clean it up. He's going to get all the dirt out.
46, and when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that.
Now, in all cities, they had this high tower, and it was a fortress, and they would run there when they were in danger. There's some more men left in Shechem, so they go up to the tower. It's interesting. They go to the tower, and the psalmist says, I will run into the name of the Lord and be safe.
They entered into a hold of the house of the god of Berith.
Baal Berith, meaning the god of the covenant, a fake god. So they run into a tower. The name is fake. But we run into the name of our God and we're safe. Our God's name is Yahweh. His name is called the Word of God. When you don't know what to do, run into the Word of God. All directions are there.
46, and it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. 48, and Abimelech got him up to Mount Zoman.
Now, they say, Abimelech, the men that are left there are up in that tower. You can't get them now, Abimelech.
He and all the people that were with him, and Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees.
He cuts down a branch and puts it on his shoulder.
And took it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, what you see me do, make haste and do as I have done.
Every one of you cut you a branch and put it on your shoulder and follow me.
49, and all the people likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold and set the hold on fire.
The hold is the door of the tower. They put those bows there and they set them on fire.
Them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women.
Now remember verse 20, Jotham's prophecy, and a fire shall come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem. Part A has come true. Remember Jotham? God says, believe my word, believe my prophets. The second part, and a fire shall come out from the men of Shechem and devour Abimelech.
50, then went Abimelech to Phabez.
Now he goes up to Phabez. That's an area close to Shechem because there are some more of God's people there, more of the Shechemites up there who were under his kingship, shall we say.
And encamped against Phabez and took it.
He's not going to let anybody not worship him. The Antichrist is going to look out for the elect and call us up to be before him, to be delivered before him, he's going to flush out the elect, because the Antichrist can't stand for one person not to love him.
51, but there was a strong tower within the city.
Oh, they got a tower too. Are they going to do that again?
And thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them.
Okay, they go climbing up into that tower. That's all they knew to do. They don't know about the one in Shechem being burned down.
And got them up to the top of the tower.
Yeah, they went up the top. They had little openings up there.
And Abimelech came unto the tower, and fought against it, and went hard unto the door.
Close to the door.
To burn it with fire.
To burn it with fire. It worked before. He thinks he'll do it again. Now what's the B part of the prophecy? And a fire shall come out from the men of Shechem and devour Abimelech.
53, and a certain woman.
A certain woman.
Passed a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head.
There's a woman up there, she took a stone and crashed Abimelech's head. Jesus says, if this stone falls on you, it'll grind you to pieces. The very first prophecy in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, God was speaking to the serpent, who is the devil. And he said, her seed shall bruise your head. Your seed, serpent, the Kenites, shall bruise his heel. And that's happened. It was the Kenites who say they are Judah, but are not, the synagogue of Satan. They said, crucify him, and pierce Jesus' heels. But then God said in Genesis 3:15, but her seed shall bruise your head. And of course, Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil, at the cross. In the book of Daniel, Daniel calls the very elect here at the end time the ships of Chittim. Did I say that well? We are called the bruisers, and when the elect are delivered up to the Antichrist, we're going to be that woman, male and female elect. When we're delivered up, we are going to let the Holy Spirit pour out the rock, the word, the stone of God, and crush the Satan's head. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Victory!
In all to break his skull. 54, then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him.
They would just be so embarrassed that a woman would kill him. In the book of Samuel, King Saul was surrounded by the Gentiles. He knew they were going to kill him, but they would torture him. So King Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and kill me so I won't be delivered into their torturous hands. But Saul's armor bearer loved Saul and would not do that. So Saul had to fall on his own sword. Now let's see, does Abimelech's sword bearer love him?
And his young man thrust him through, and he died.
He thrust him through. Be glad to, sir. Zap! Not too much love there. The devil uses you and throws you away and hates you.
5, and when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place.
Try to clean up their salty places.
56. Thus God requited the wickedness of Abimelech.
Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Alexander Pope wrote, I believe I remember this in college, the mills of the gods grind slowly, but they grind true.
Which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brothers. 57, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel.
So Jotham was a true prophet. Now, Abimelech is a type of the Antichrist. At the end of 1,000 years reign of peace, Jesus will be on earth. We'll all be in our spiritual bodies. The elect Zadok will be teaching through that time. Then will come into existence the lake of fire and the Abimelech type, Antichrist, and all who worship him will walk into the lake of fire. into the fire they shall be consumed. They shall be consumed away. No, the wicked do not get away with it. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God bless you. I hope you will bless them.
Amen.
We'll start right there next time, but it's time now for Mystery Moment questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. It was a great word tonight.
Oh, it's awesome.
It was. I have some questions here.
Okay.
Our first question from Max Merson.
Max Merson. Yeah. That sounds like you. That's your son.
Well, it is. And he wants to know, are the Kenites a race of people?
Yes, they are. I like Max to say they are a nation of people. The Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, are the descendants of Cain. And Cain is a literal child of the devil, who was the serpent who beguiled Eve. Paul says, exopatio, holy, seduced. But we do learn that the Kenites are called the tares in the Bible. Jesus calls them the tares, T-A-R-E-S, the bitter Zawan. They look just like the real thing, so you can't tell them from the wheat are the real ones. The only way you can tell the difference is the Holy Spirit will tell you.
Amen. Amen. And our next question. Did Jesus teach about the Kenites?
Yes, in Matthew 13, Jesus gave us the parable of the tares and the wheat, and he said the enemy that sowed them, the tares, is the enemy, and the word sowed is sperma, as to have a child. Them is the tares, the bitter Zawan, and he said the enemy that did them is the devil. And Jesus also said in John 8:44, he was talking to the Kenites, he said, your father, the devil.
Yeah, and I know, like, when they both bloom, when they're brought into the fullness of the blooming, that the wheat will be golden, but the Zawan will be black.
Bitter, that's right.
And that's
he says
know.
You should know them by their fruits. He said, let them alone when they grow up together, because they look just alike. That's why I say you can't tell the wheat from the tares unless you know you've got spiritual discernment. And God does give us that. But then when they grow up, then you begin to see what they produce.
Yeah, and we see that blooming right now, don't we?
We see the evil versus good, boy.
And I know he also tells us that he'll separate the sheep and the goat nations.
Sheep from the goats.
Can a Kenite be saved?
A Kenite can be saved. Whosoever will may be saved. Only one entity has been sentenced to turn to ashes from within, to be from fire within, and that would be the devil himself, King Tyrus, in Ezekiel 44, verses 18 to 20, plus the fallen angels. It's a little harder to win a Kenite. I have worked with them. Some have come to my school. That DNA is in there, but yes, they can be, and then they would be the child of God. You know, before I go on about Scott stuff, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, at the produce place, this is such a beautiful thing. This is a gift from God. You can go in there, and while you shop, beautiful Christian music is playing. I mean, wouldn't you just love that? I mean, you go places and you have to hear all this mess, but at the produce place, Christian music. So I just thought you'd like to know that. But it's time now for Scott stuff.
Who are these that fly like a cloud, like doves to their windows? These are the hearts of David entering with the presence of the Lord, reestablishing the foundation of the temple of the Lord upon this land. They will have Jesus painted on them, releasing a conviction of the Spirit within the church, bringing forth repentance and atonement, restoration and oneness.
That is so great. That's the elect. That's a Zadok. Thank you very much, Scott. In a moment, I'm going to pray for everybody who's sick, but let me first get you saved. If you're not saved, please pray this prayer and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me, Lord.
To win many people to Jesus.
To win many people to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that and meant it, my announcer in a few minutes is going to give you my telephone number. I welcome you to call and leave a message and say your name clearly, and I will pray for you. Excuse me. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, please, that from the north, the south, the east, and the west, wherever anyone is hearing my voice, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. We ask that you will go into the digestive system where there's disruption in the stomach and the bowels and the kidneys. We ask to bring divine order, perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction or inaction, peace be still. And we call forth the pancreas to be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Let the liver be healed and the heart and the lungs. And the gallbladder in Jesus' name be total repaired. Gallbladder be renewed. The vertebrae in the back, every one of them perfectly aligned. Where there's a missing bone, let new bone be. Let blind eyes see. Deaf ears hear. Brains come back. Tumors be gone. People with concussions, let the brain, the electrons and the electrodes and the neutrons in the brain come back and worship. Work properly. Son of Righteousness, rise with healing in your wings in Jesus' mighty name. The blood be purified. Diabetes be gone. Feet be healed. Crippled legs walk in Jesus' name. Deaf ears hear. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. He says his word and healed you. Well, somebody got it. I think I got healed. So feel free to call and tell me that too. Now it's time for my love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. About the spiritual gifts, all these beautiful gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 and singing in the Spirit and so forth. Some of you say, well, I don't have any. God gives these gifts to those he can trust. These gifts are not plastic Christmas ornaments. They are precious diamond-encrusted pearls and emeralds and jewels. And they must be handled sensitively to move on a dime when to use them. So you say, but I don't have any. Well, what gift do you have? You've been sitting under this wonderful teaching, book, chapter, verse, and line. You know the mystery. You know the seduction in the garden. What have you done with that gift? Start with the gift you have. And then, when he can trust you with that gift, he'll give you more. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ask him to make you trustworthy. Now, don't forget about Thursdays from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Scott and I are here to pray for you for healing or whatever ails you. Anywhere between that time span, we do close at 2, so come a little bit before 2. Sundays 5 p.m. here and Wednesdays 6:30 p.m. Thank you very much for listening. I do pray that you are blessed. I love all of you and I feel your spirit and you're very precious to me. Now, remember this about Yeshua. Jesus, his name is called the Word of God, and Jesus says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock with a portion of the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. I love you. And I want you to stay in the truth with love.
Listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
too much time on things that don't wanna last. I build a kingdom out of a rubble and sand, but I don't want to hold on to it all. I'm ready for the river to run and wash it away. I'm singing, come sweet water, cleanse my soul. There's no freedom in the chains. They'll hold you captive to the guilt of your stains. One drop of water brings an ocean of change, and I long to move on from it all. I'm ready for the river to run and wash it away. I'm singing, come sweet.
Blessed be your name. I will ever give you praise. I will ever, Lord. are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
Find it, and miracles are hard to come by.